It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature. Beautiful people, welcome back to the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host LA, aka Lonzo, and guess who's back with me today? What's up, Mona?
Hey, it's been so long. So just everybody, I want to apologize because, you know, I had to beat up the Unknown Preacher LA in order to get my spot back on the show. He just kicked me to the curb. He didn't even have my email address anymore in the database. I said, you know what? This is not of God. This is supposed to be a Christian show, y'all. So we're going to have to pray. Y'all going to have to pray for you, boy.
Oh, she starts already, y'all.
Yeah, I told myself. I'm like, I'm going to let everybody know the truth. The truth is you tried to kick me off the show. And the people are not having it. Why would you do that?
First, I never tried to do that. Secondly, someone just had too many balls in the air. And what happens when you have too many balls in the air?
Why are you going to say that on the show? Why are you doing that to me?
So you started, you throw shade and then... I just sit there or what? I mean, what's the plan?
Yes, the plan is you just take that. That's the plan. You just take it all, okay?
I can't get chin checked with so many times.
I love chin check. I love that. No, but honestly, I've been missing just, you know, this space. Miss, of course, always miss you. You know what I mean? My fearless leader, okay? Always miss you so much. Oh, my gosh. I just love you so much. But I've been missing this space, you know what I mean? Like this free creative, it's a place where we can just come and a safe place, you know, where we can just kind of talk and air things out. You know what I mean? I get to beat you up on air. It's great. It's great.
And I can take it. Yep. I agree. I agree. And really it is this ministry in motion, man. We're here just organically talking. And numerous times people say, hey, I took what you said, the heart, Mona was speaking that knowledge and it really was talking to my spirit. So, welcome back, man. It's been too long, seriously.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Let's keep up this flow.
Like, we'll see. We'll see,
sister,
y'all.
Oh, my calendar. I'm my calendar, my sister. I'm booked up until December.
Hey, man, we in demand like hotcakes, man. I can't, you know.
Yo, I'm from the north. We don't eat that stuff. That's y'all business down here. No hotcakes. Hotcakes is not what it is for me, okay?
You're missing out. That's all I'm saying. You're missing out. Hey, yes. But thanks to you, because it was a good idea, I'm excited about today's episode. Because we're talking about something that everybody uses. But no one understands money, 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 money.
Hey, and, money.
Yes. and it's not going to be boring or complicated, right? Because we have an expert and then we have some people who have been exposed to the expert. So I'm just super excited. And then I was thinking about this as I was driving in before we record. I was like, you know, God trusts us with his resources, right? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be good stewards. And I'm just honored that he trusts me to do the right thing and use those resources to expand the ministry. That's really at the end of the day, you know? And so that was the touching part. It made me super excited when I said we're going to bring on our guests and talk about this.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I totally agree with you. Stewardship is really important in everything. And, you know, across the board, just general being stewards of everything that God has given us, because ultimately everything that we have is a grace. God has graced us to have these things. And so when we don't what is it that I heard recently? What God gives us is what is his gift to us, and then what we do with it is how we give, is how we gift it back to him. So it's like a cycle. God gives us these things and blesses us with these things, and then the way that we take care of it and use it for his glory is how we, how he gets the glory. You know what I mean? So, you know, you've heard that saying, if you don't use it, then you lose it. And that's really across the board. Anything that we have, if we're not using it properly, eventually it's gonna get worn out. You know what I mean? And so we got some tools for y'all. We got some tools for y'all.
Always speaking knowledge, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. And so I'm going to start it off and say we have Coach Keon, also known as Mr. Finance, with us today. And we're going to also talk to, I don't know how many yet, we're trying to figure that out, but some amazing young people who graduated from his financial class, and they're going to tell us what they learned too, and how it's changed the way they think about money. That's super important. So let's jump into it. You want to do the honors, Buna, since it was your idea, and introduce our guest?
I do. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is such a pleasure for me. This man coming to the arena. This is a heavyweight champion in the financial world. I'm very, very proud to say that he is my greatest financial educator. He says that he's not an advisor. He says he's an educator, but he really is an advisor. But what I love about Coach Keon is his heart. He really has a heart to educate people so that their family, the lineage of their family and their legacy lives on. I met Coach Keon through social media a while back, and he was watching my journey. And then he impromptu, and this is how God works, guys, because this story is kind of similar to how I met, you know, your very own unknown preacher, L.A. You know, Coach Keon was watching my journey. And then last year on New Year's Eve, 2024, he reached out with a text and said, "Hey, do you know anybody that can use some finance classes?" And I was like, yes. How about, can you just come on and speak to our ministry? And we spoke for a little while. He started giving classes to our ministry. And then one by one, you know, everybody kind of did one-on-one sessions with Coach Keon. And I was a little, you know, I was sporadic because things were happening in my life. And I really wasn't Holy Spirit, please help me. I wasn't really putting forth how important, you know, I was just kind of all over the place. And I spoke to Coach about 2 or 3 months ago, and he said some very key words for me. And he said, you know, Muna, with his Jamaican accent, he said, you know, this is a curriculum. And so I suggest that people see me 3 to 5 times a week. I was like, 3 to 5 times a week? And then when he said curriculum, I was like, bingo, because my daughters are homeschooled. And so I was like, you know what we're going to do? I could do you one better. The whole family is going to take this course, and we're going to benefit from it. So my mother, who is 80 years of age, myself, and then my teenage daughters, 17, 15, and 14, we all partook of this amazing, amazing class. And Coach is a man of God. And so, you know, there were times where he would be teaching, and then you can tell when the Spirit of God would take over, and he would just be pulling things out of the divine. I mean, it was just, he's just such an amazing, man. He's just that type of dude. He's really knowledgeable, but he really cares about people. And that's why I'm excited that he's with us today. And you're going to hear his passion to really help and nurture God's people through finances when he comes on and he starts speaking. But again, like I said, you know, we went through the program 3 generations, and it changed the face of how we see finances in my family. And so I'm very, very excited to bring to you Coach Cornice, his Mr. Finance, Coach Cornice Sr., who is my financial educator, and hopefully he'll be some of your financial educator as well. So without further ado, the one, the only, Mr. Finance,
Wow, that was it, man. Couldn't say it better. Mr. Finance, how are you?
Man, I am doing good, man. What an introduction. I felt like I didn't get a gloves on, and someone said, "Let's get ready to rumble."
She definitely laid down the roses, man, and it sounds like very deserving. So it is an honor to have you on, my brother.
Man, listen, the honor is mine for sure, and I really appreciate you creating this space and this platform for you guys to have me on, to come on and share as well, because, you know, as much as they say that, you know, the only way I could ever consider myself an educator is that I have a student, right? Yeah. And they said when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Mm. And I tell you, you know, the moment was right. And there's no other time like God's time, right?
Amen.
I absolutely love that.
So happy to be here.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And you've done it all, it sounds like, and pretty broad knowledge on finances. I love, like, Muna kind of flipped it and talked about the youth and said, hey, let's target them, which they have been an audience we've been trying to bring more closer to the podcast. So I thought it was just a brilliant idea. And so I want to ask you this first question. Say you're explaining money to a young person who just got their first allowance, right? How would you break it down in the simplest way? Because they can get carried away with that first allowance.
Yeah, it's really about the principle that I would have them learn, that the money that they get paid is called earned income, but the money that they invest will create passive income. You see, the first thing I would want them to learn is that you never spend the principal, you only spend the interest. You save the principal. You invest the principal. So that way you could spend the interest, right?
Yeah.
So that idea of instant gratification is something that I want to shift, where they don't see the need that, hey, I got to go treat myself by spending my check. Instead of treating myself, how about I save on myself? And then I spend the interest, right? So yeah. The first thing I would do when I sit down with a young person, I want them to understand the importance of, know the difference between earned income and passive income. Because when you get passive income, you're rich for life, versus if you have an earned income, you're going to work for life, right?
Uh-huh.
And very, very, very big thing for them to understand, that mindset shift really quick. Really, really quick. Yeah. So once that is done, then we start talking about budgeting, right?
Yeah.
Because they got to understand why I need to budget, right? Because if they understand that, oh, the reason why I'm budgeting is because I'm going to learn how much I can spend and how much I can save. Okay, why do I need to save? Oh, yes, I got to create passive income, right? I got to create passive income. So when we start letting the young folks understand passive income, because that's what they want. When they said they don't want to work hard, they want to make a lot of money, that's what they're saying. They want passive income. So we just got to teach them how to use their earned income to create passive income, you know?
Yeah. I love that advice. I wish you were around when my sons were little, because and I wish you were around when I was a kid, because everything was about the clothes with me when I was working in high school. It was about having the nice kicks and the, you know, the hats, and just, I don't even know what word I want to say, man, but just flossing, man. That's all it was about. So that's really great advice. And what's one bad money habit you see kids, even some adults, fall into, you know, because it seems like a slippery slope.
You know, it's crazy. It's a great question you just asked me, and I'm going to share with you simple two things. Mm-hmm. Overspending, undersaving.
Mm.
Those habits are killing so many money dreams, so many futures, so many present moments. It's because we have the tendency where, yes, we live in America, right? America is known to be one of the number one consumers. We're not known to be the number one savers, but the number one consumer, which means that we were taught how to spend money, not save money. So what we tend to do is that we spend the money first, right? and then we save whatever's left over later, right? And that's always been the biggest problem, because if you ask the average person today, youth, adults, whoever it is, do you know how much you should be spending, and do you know how much you should be saving? The average person have no clue. But here's what they tell us. Oh, to do a great budget, you got to track your spending. How can you track what you don't know?
Hey.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are tricked. We are tricked with this notion of treating yourself and the FOMO effect, right? Those two things are killing us, man. And they're killing our youth, too, because when that FOMO effect kicked in, where we have the idea that the fear of missing out, the fear of not having that cool thing, the fear of not having the newest trendy shoes, the fear, right? And that's something that I always say, listen, man, if we could teach our kids and say, hey, it's okay to wear Walmart brand. It's okay to wear Payless. It's okay. Because here's the thing. What's more better than, you know, what's better? Wearing those Walmart brand, but you own some real stocks in, let's say, Nike, and start getting dividend checks, right? How about you wear them Walmart shoes, buy them Nike stocks, get them dividend checks, and now go buy the Nikes from that. Now right. Nike's paying for your shoes, right?
Yeah.
Big difference. You know, it's the same thing I tell even for the young ladies too. They like the Chanel bags. They want the Dior's, right? Go buy the stocks. Buy the stocks. Take the money from the dividends, and then go buy you some Dior, right?
Right.
It's just about the mindset. The mindset comes right back down to save and invest the principal, and spend the interest.
Mm. I love the America dynamic you just threw in there, though, because we have been trained to spend, and keep spending, you know. And, you know, if you think about social media and just the culture in general, it's all about the newest phone, the car, the clothes. I mean, just how well you look, staying attractive, all of that.
Mm.
Yeah. Moon?
You know, I was blessed and fortunate to have a multi-billionaire mentor.
Mm.
And that really humbled me very early on in my career. You know, I thought I had to dress to the top of the top, look at the top of the best, had on a tailored suit, right? Walk up to this man. This man had on a regular t-shirt. He probably had a denim jeans on and some regular shoes. And he looked at me and was like, man, you look very expensive. And I was like, no, you know, trying to play it down. He's like, look in the closet. And he said, look in this closet. He was so excited about these shoes. He's like, guess how much I paid for these shoes? There's three of them. And I must tell you, they were ugly too. They were hideous shoes. But I was thinking it's one of those, you know, I think it was one of those rich, you know, rich, ugly shoes thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, what, $1,000, right? He looked at me, he's like, no way, $99, man. $99, I bought them from Walmart. I was like, you shop at Walmart? He's like, yeah. How you think I stay rich? He's like, bro, listen. He's like, let me give you the best advice. Look broke and stay rich.
Mm.
But if you try to look rich, you will go broke doing it.
Right.
He's like, riches. He said, rich is loud, wealth is quiet. Which one you want to be?
Right. Mm.
It's like wealthy money whispers. You don't even know it's coming. It walks past you every day. Right? So it's like, don't aim to be rich. Aim to be wealthy.
Mm.
Move in silence. Look broke. You will stay rich forever. And I never forget that, because the reason why I'm sharing that is because I want people to understand that we are on the trajectory of really making a big impact, where we're going through one of the greatest wealth transfer that's happening. And if the quicker our youths get on the bandwagon, because if we understand how compound interest work, we got to realize that time is at the essence. Time is our most valuable asset. And the fact that when we have our children that have a lifespan of, hey, if they're, let's say that they're 10 years old, 40 years from now, they're 50 from there. They have 40 years to save and invest their money, 40 years to get compounded interest, 40 years where they could put away $1,000 every month, $1,000 every year for over a 40-year period and grew their portfolio to over $2-something million. These are the things we got to realize, that time is the most valuable asset, and our youth and our adults, we have to realize that that's the most valuable asset. And when we put time with compound interest, we create a very beautiful thing when it comes to our finances.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, you know, if I could just jump in here, I just want to just piggyback off what you're saying.
Imagine this. She could be your best friend, your sister, your coworker. She could even be you. On the outside, she looks like she has it all together. A nice home, a polished smile, maybe even the dream job. But behind closed doors, silence is her survival. That silence helps no one. 1 in 4 women will face abuse in her lifetime. And while some forms of abuse are easy to spot, others hide in plain sight. Behind wealth, success, and respectability, it's called upscale abuse. In John and Susie, 1 Woman in 4 is a Susie, author Kelly Jones pulls back the curtain on traditional and upscale abuse. With raw stories, urgent insights, and practical tools, she introduces the powerful BOSS framework, showing how abusers choose, trap, and control their victims. More importantly, she gives survivors and allies the clarity and courage to recognize danger before it's too late. John and Susie isn't just awareness. It's a call to action. It shows how abuse ripples beyond the victim to children, families, friends, even bystanders, and it gives us all the tools to respond with compassion and safety. John and Susie, 1 Woman in 4 is a Susie by Kelly Jones, is available on Amazon. Awareness is the first step. Action is the next step. Don't wait.
You know, if I could just jump in here, I just want to just piggyback off what you're saying, Coach. You know, in our neighborhoods, and Coach, I want to give you the space to, I know this story, but our audience and Alan's up, the unknown preacher, LA, he doesn't know the story of why you do what you do, you know, because you were not born in America, but your mother was your great, you watched your mother, who is the world's greatest entrepreneur. But I want to give you the space to talk a little bit about what you witnessed from your mother's hard work and the rise and fall and then rise again, if you will, of the empire that your family created. I think that is very pertinent for everybody to know. And that the reason why you do what you do and your drive to let people know how imperative it is for our youth, our young children, who we're going to, you know, we're giving the baton to them. But why it's so imperative for them to understand the money game. So can you just give us a little bit about your background and, you know, what you saw growing up and all that good stuff, if you don't mind?
Absolutely. Yes. So, you know, growing up, I grew up in an area in Jamaica called Kingston, you know, on Walton Park Road, Galloway Road, you know, 40 3/4. Right. You know, that's where I grew up. And this is an area where I had such a unique experience to see poverty, but I never really experienced it, if that makes sense. Because fortunately, my family was the family that was helping out community, right? And I grew up watching that. I grew up watching my grandpa hiring people and my mother, you know, feeding people because she ran a business in the restaurant space. And done it so well that it helped us to even move out of that urban community and started living in an area called Portmore, where we started moving to a very residential middle-class community. And life changed for me because it went from seeing poverty to now seeing doctors and police officers and teachers and, you know, very affluent people that's doing well for themselves. And here we
have virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bags stuffed full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmers Hub. Ooh, ooh, onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herbs to hoop cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmers.
money for me. It's really about the impact. I don't care if I get paid for this, as long as someone learned from this.
Man. Amen. And I have to tell you, rest assured, Coach, people are definitely learning, because the entire face of my family changed. And I believe you, Coach, and I, we've had this conversation before, you know, that I knew that I always knew that I was going to be a wealthy woman. I just did not know how I was going to become wealthy. You know, you said you made a statement, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. You really have to be in a certain type of space in order to grasp the money game and what it's all about, and things that, you know, sometimes it's in plain sight. But because we haven't been taught financial literacy, we miss it. You know, the tax codes and, you know, certain things like learning about 401k and Roth IRAs and, you know, REITs, stocks, bonds, all of that, life insurance, all of that stuff, having an estate, having a living trust, a will, all of a health direct. I mean, you know, now my mind is just racing, right, from all of the things I learned in the curriculum. But really, it really starts with, you know, setting a foundation. And, you know, the unknown preacher, please piggyback on this from, you know, piggyback as well, please. Because in the kingdom of God, you know, God does want us to be stewards of what he gives us. You know, he wants to know that when we give that, what he blesses us with, number one, we're not going to be selfish and greedy. We're going to do what thus saith the Lord with it. But then also that we know how to protect it. We know how to increase what he's given us. We know how to, you know, share it. You know, there's a lot of, and then we know how to go out and get more and have it work for, you know, the kingdom, you know. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thank you. Go ahead, Coach. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, just to add on that, it's so important. You know, that's one of the things that I really, when I look at it, and I said to families, I said, there's four things that every family must know, right? They need to know why, they need to know how, they must have a goal, and they must have a plan, right? Mm-hmm. And that's pertaining to everything. That's pertaining to everything, not just their finances, but just as a life, right? Mm-hmm. Every day you got to wake up and ask yourself, why do I wake up every day? Why do I get dressed? Why do I go to work? Why do I come home? Why do I do it again the next day? Why? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back to the very thing where I talk about passive income, right? But it's more about retirement. Because one of the biggest mistakes that we've seen today in America is that many people believe that retirement is 65. It's an age. It's not an age. It's a dollar amount. Because I know for certain that if everybody right now that's listening to this podcast and they're listening to this, and someone gave you $10 million today, I'm pretty sure you're not retiring at 65. I'm sure of it. Because why? You now have a dollar amount. So that's why it's important to know your FIN number. That FIN number tells you how much you need in order to retire comfortably. And it also shows you how much you need to save to get there. Right? So that's why you got to know why. Why you need to make more money so that way you can save. That's why you go to work. Right? You earn income to then invest your earned income to create passive income, right? And the quicker we do that, the quicker we get to enjoy retirement. But how? How do we get there? How do we start to save our money? You start to learn about the 50-30-20 budgeting formula. As a matter of fact, this is a formula that I've used over the years that I just wrote a book on it. You know, and I'm proud of this book because this book is so important. Very, very powerful book. And it's changing lives because I've took everything that I've learned to master this formula and I put it in a book, and it's now available for everyone on Amazon because I want to teach people how to master their budget. It only takes 5 minutes. Budgeting is not complicated because when you learn how to budget, you're going to learn how to save, how much you should be saving, and how much can you still spend, right? And it's so important because once you know how much you can save, that's the money that you're going to use to create the plan. What is the plan? The plan is to make sure that every family learn how to grow their money. And we want to teach families how to grow their money so that way they can have a stronger financial foundation. We must learn how to put together proper protection, manage your debts, create an emergency fund, and then invest your money. And then the goal, The goal is to make sure that everybody learn how to protect their money. And once we teach you how to put together an estate plan, no one could ever touch your money again. It's like MC Hammer, man. That thing is so protected. Because you're going to learn the power of a will. You're going to learn about the power of attorney. You're going to learn about a health directive and a trust. You got to trust the trust. I tell people all the time, men lie, women lie. But guess what? The trust never lie. Trust the trust. Okay? So, you know, I always want to encourage that. But, yeah, man, it's really those four things that we really focus on all the time so that way we could give families the opportunity to really start winning the money game.
Man, you dropped some nuggets. As oh man, I tell you, and what a compelling story too. That is inspiring in itself, and it really just makes things a lot clearer of why you are passionate about what you do, but also are really connecting with our young people because it sounds like you see yourself and. You think like I said earlier, man, when I was young, if someone had shared that knowledge with me, where would I be today, right?
BSHE Incorporated is a dedicated community-based nonprofit supporting individuals fleeing domestic violence. They are not state-funded and rely entirely on the generosity of donors, sponsors, and the community fundraising efforts to continue their mission. Serving Southern Wake County and the surrounding areas, BSHE provides safe emergency housing for those in crisis, housing assistance to help survivors rebuild, mental health support and counseling, financial aid to promote stability, and educational programs to inspire healthy, independent futures. Their mission is simple yet powerful. To help survivors reclaim their independence and foster healthy relationships through compassion, resources, and education. This year alone, more than 20 clients have transformed their lives with the help of BSHE's services. We invite you to join them for their third annual fundraiser, Sunday, September 28th, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Pavilion at Carriage Farm, Raleigh, North Carolina. Tickets available now on Eventbrite. Also, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, all major platforms. Discover ways to donate, volunteer, and advocate. Your support changes lives. Every ticket purchased, every share, every dollar given brings hope to someone in need. Remember, be the she or he who owns the power within yourself.
I have a question for Coach. For a parent like myself, what is the age that you think we should start teaching our children the things that are in the curriculum? Is there an age? Do they have to be, you know, 10, or should they start at 5, or should they, you know, should we start giving them little paper money coins when they're like 4? What is the age that we should really start to incorporate, you know, the financial literacy for our children?
Honestly, I think the same time when we start teaching them ABCs. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because I had the privilege to be around a very wealthy family growing up in Bhutan. And I saw the conversations that they used to have around the dinner table. It's not about what's on the channel about sports. It wasn't about it was a conversation about wealth. And they always talk about, what are you doing now? What are you looking to invest in? Hey, Dad, what are the next thing we should be looking at? Oh, and I listened to the conversation that they were having. And I was like, man, around my dinner table, we don't talk about stuff like this. We're not sharing about what investment we're going to make and what are we doing this weekend and what properties we're going to look at. And I was just like, it would sound so foreign to me, right? Yeah. And I realized that these kids were exposed to finance very early. Where they didn't just learn how to make money. They didn't just learn how to save it. They didn't learn how to just grow it. They even learned how to protect it and multiply it, right? So I would say that we got to have the conversation with our children as soon as possible, because the quicker they learn, the quicker the habits start to form. And remember, we are creatures of habits. So if we learn habits and we change our finances. That's at the top. If we want to change or correct ourselves, we got to create a mindset. Mindset changed everything. Mindset. Yeah. It's how we look at things. That's why I said, if we could teach our kids very early on that, hey, your earned income should earn you passive income. If they could just grasp that understanding that, hey, I save and invest my principal so that way when it grows, I could just spend and live off the interest. Oh, man, we will understand how the rich stay rich. Because when you think the rich are spending their principles, you're absolutely wrong. They don't. Rich people do not spend their principles. They save it and invest it. And the interest that is made up on it is what they spend and enjoy it very well. So I just want to tell you guys that little nugget right there.
That's great. Mona, are they ready yet? Or
is this the moment you're in anticipation, aren't you?
I am, because I really, everything is riding on this. Right? Everything. No. But
what are you trying to do? What are you up to? Everything is riding on this. This is what's going to bring it all in, huh?
Don't you watch infomercials?
No. Now, you know I don't even have a TV. You know
no,
that?
No, I didn't know that.
You don't know? You didn't know that? Or maybe, Coach, you knew that. I don't know. Yeah.
Ladies, man, all these times I've been telling you to check out this movie and this TV show. And oh, wow.
No, we have computers. We use computers. Yeah. We just don't have a TV yet, man.
I'm joking about the infomercial, but I am excited to hear their experience and then follow up with the coach on some of this, because I know their stories tie in to everything he's saying.
Absolutely, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I have with me a very special guest, and I'm super excited to bring to the stage my second-born baby girl. Her name is Alexa Marie Adams. She is 15 years of age. She'll be 16 October the 6th. Cheer. And she is, let me just say this to everybody who's listening. You have to know, Alexa, since she was younger, she always had money. Like, and Coach, I believe I shared this story with you in one of our, classes. But like, as a baby, and I'm talking about like young baby and Pampers, like she always had something in her hand. And I would be like, what is it? She always had these coins. She would have nickels, dimes, quarters. And I would be like, where is she getting all this money from? Mm-hmm. She's also my baby that if anything in the house went missing, I would be like, Alexa, okay, I need to find this. And she would, and no matter where it was in the house, it could be in the most random place. She would be, and I would be like, where did you find it? Oh, it was behind the washing machine on the right hand side under the floor. And I would be like, what? Like, this girl just, she's always been, you know, that very unique, that unique individual. But because she's always been the money girl, I think that it's also very appropriate for her to come on and share some of her experiences about the course and, just what she learned or anything that, you know, she wants to share about the course. Alexa Marie Adams, woo, and the crowd goes wild.
Alexa, how are you?
I'm good. So his courses have been like very helpful since now that I'm like starting to apply for jobs. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I learned about the courses is the 401ks, that 401ks are not really as cracked up to be as it seems. Mm-hmm. So it's very helpful for me because I've been doing a job search, and like the benefits sometimes for jobs is 401ks. And so when I see that, I'm like, nah, I don't want that. I'm good. And another thing that I learned is that also HOAs are not good. Like if you're investing in houses, mm-hmm. You don't want to have HOAs because they have a lot of restrictions, a lot of things you got to go through, and we just not there for that. So and also I've learned like how to save my money, like if like the 30 wait 50-30-20 mm-hmm. I think about how like needs, wants, and then savings. Mm-hmm. About like you put some in your savings, you have some for yourself, and then you go handle like your bills and stuff, which has been very helpful because for future reference, when I buy my own house, I want to be able to know, well, I need to spend something to get household items, but then I also do set some aside for myself, like if I want to get my nails done, hair done, and learning how to save ahead of time is really helpful because I don't want to just like, you know, just turn 18 and then I'm just thrown to the wolves and I don't know how to manage my finances. So it has been very eye-opening on how to properly manage your finances and also how to increase your finances, about how to make businesses so that you can gain profit from your businesses. Mm-hmm. I can say that I am working on one, but I'm not very diligent about it. So I have my online store, but you know, I'm still setting that up. So learning from Coach Kiana has been a very good opportunity for me. And also, I could put it on my resume that I completed his course. So that's another good thing.
Mm. How did you get the certificate of completion?
It was good.
Did you feel accomplished?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. All right, can you talk to us a little bit about needs versus wants? This is the last question for you. Needs versus wants. What did you think? Did you know about needs versus wants before the curriculum?
Yeah.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk a little bit about needs versus wants. If you were, okay, so now you're 15 going on 16. You're actually closer to 16 than you're 15. So you're speaking now and appealing to the 16-year-olds, the 15 to 16-year-olds. What do you say to them to compel them to compel them to be able to recognize what needs versus wants are? What would you say to them so that they can,
like, my future self?
Well, maybe your future. No, not your future self. You're appealing to the people in your age bracket. So 15, 16, all of the young ladies and gentlemen who are 15 and 16. What would you say to them so that they understand needs versus wants? They walk into a store and they just got an allowance and they're like, okay, I need X, Y, and Z, but I want X, Y, and Z. What would you say to them?
What I would say is, okay, if it's needs, okay, I understand that like you might need certain things, like, you know, soap, toilet paper, tissue, that's essential. But I'm just saying, if you're like going to get something that you don't need, I'd be like, all right, you can go get it, but you're going to have what you want and then your pocket's going to be empty. You're going to be looking a fool. So, if you want to go get something that you don't need, and be broke, go ahead. That. But if you want to have money, you need to save. You need to save and spend a little and then save, spend a little and save.
So what's more important, to spend or to save?
It depends on what situation you're in.
Ooh, that's good.
Because, like, if you think about it this way, you can't, like, this is just, like, an example. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, I want to pay this bill, but I have to save my money. That's just, does that sound smart? No. It doesn't sound smart. And, like,
you have money, but the lights are off. Like, right. You didn't pay the light bill.
They're
okay.
Calling, they're like, ma'am, you need to pay your bill. And you'd be like, nah, I need to save my money. That's not wise, because then when are you going to spend the money that you save?
Like, very wise.
What are you going to spend it on? You need to pay your bills. So.
Right. So respond.
So it depends on what situation that you're in.
Okay. So what I hear is that you have to, so the course basically taught you more financial responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so what you're appealing to, what you're appealing to the 15 and 16 year olds, that they have to learn how to be responsible around their finances. Mm-hmm. And how important do you think it is to God when he blesses us with money? Do you think God cares if we just go out and just blow it all because, hey, he's into the business of blessing?
Yeah, he does care. He does care because when you're giving 10% to God, he's going to give back to you. But when you're not giving to God, that's when you see that your finances are going to dry up and you're like, well, why is this going wrong? It's because you didn't give back to God when God has given it to you.
Come on, she preaching out here.
I love it. I love it. Sounds like a lot of stuff stuck. A lot of stuff. She went on and on. She's living by it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Is that it for her, Mona? You told her one more question and didn't ask if I had any questions or not, but you know.
You know what? I just it's interesting because listen. Of course, I know as a mother and as, you know, a single mother, but just as someone who is an independent woman, you know, it's imperative that, you know, I have financial literacy. But for me, being able to see my children prosper from Coach Keon's courses and also my mother as well. You know, my whole thing, the reason why I put my children, specifically my children, into this course is because my eldest daughter is turning 18 in 2 months. And so, I'm sorry, in 1 month, right? Because we're in September now. In 1 month. And so, you know, that's when she gets a, thank you, baby. Thank you so much for being participating. And so, you know, for me, I was like, now is the time because I don't want her to become 18 and she has no type of skills to maneuver financially. And I told her, I said, listen, stay home until you can buy your own house. Yeah. You don't have to go out and rent. And listen, I ain't nobody gonna bother you. Okay, you're 18 and I get that, but do stay home so that you can stack your money, increase, just like Coach said, get money. And but you have to be able to protect it. You have to know what tax code, you know, you're using, and you know, have a business on the side, you know. So for me, it was more than just, you know, oh, okay, you're an independent woman and you need to know how to maneuver. No, for me, it was all about generational wealth. And you know, when the Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, that's two generations. So I always tell my children, I'm living my life now for your children. And when you get older, you have to teach your children that you're going to be living for their children. And so this is how generational wealth is, how it comes about. Every person has to be two generations ahead. And so, and I said to my children, I said, it doesn't mean that you're not going to be taken care of. If you think about it, if I have enough surplus to take care of your children, that means that of course you're going to be taken care of. So it's like we're jumping over. We have to literally be thinking that far ahead. That is a biblical principle that not a lot of people are learning. Mm. You know what I mean? So, so this is one of the reasons why I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth, because like Coach Keon said, yes, it's, we have to start with the children. We have to start with the children. So because they're the ones that are paving the way, they're the ones that when it's all said and done and we're sitting on the porch and on our, you know, our rockers and all that other stuff, they're going to be the ones that are running, taking the baton and running and building and investing. They're going to be the ones. So they have to have this foundation. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't learn these things in school, you know, because nobody wants a nation of thinkers, just workers. AKA you know who. So that's why this was imperative for me, you know. And I wanted our younger audience to hear it from a younger mouth instead of, you know, just me as a mother standing in and saying, oh, she took the class. No, well, I know what she got out of it, but you know, if you hear it from her mouth, I feel like it's better, you know?
Yeah. I'm so proud of you and, you know, your leadership and as also as a parent, because we don't take enough time. And coach, let me ask you, when you hear young people telling you they made these changes and in the positive direction, what does that tell you about the future of this generation?
Oh man, what a powerful question. It tells me that there won't be another mother that grow up, work hard, save, invest, and will never be in a position to lose it all because she didn't understand what to do and what not to do. You know, I always say that, you know, one of my mentors, he said that if you want to go fast, he said, go alone. But if you want to go far, do it with people.
Oh, wow.
And I always remember that. I always remember that for this reason. I look at it like Harriet Tubman, right? And Harriet Tubman said she could have freed a lot more slaves if they only knew they were slaves. And I say the same thing, that I could have educated a lot more people if they just knew they weren't as educated. Man. This is what's happening today in today's society, where pride and ego is keeping us poor and broken.
Yes.
Pride and ego. The pride, the ego to say, but I'm open to learn. And that's what makes you rich and wealthy. And that alone can keep you poor. Because we all hear the word poor. Oh, you're a poor person. When a wealthy person uses that word, they're not talking about your finances. They're talking about your mindset. Because when you hear the word poor, they say that you're someone that passed over opportunities repeatedly to learn or to earn. And by doing so, it makes you broke. And you'd be broke too long, you become broken, right? So we got to change. So when I hear that, when I hear kids or young adults share those impact, I realize that there's one less poor person on this planet. One less poor person. And then one more thing I want to share, you know, with the listeners. It's good to be skeptical, but it's better to be curious. It's good to be skeptical, but it's better to be curious. Do not let skepticism keep you away from the greatest opportunity. God will give you your blessings in something that comes in confusion a little bit. Because it's going to confuse you because you didn't believe it would come in the way that it did. Yeah. But be curious enough to go explore it until you know if it's sure of it, right?
Yeah.
Be curious enough to explore it until you become sure of it. And the way you're going to become sure of it is when you ask God for permission and guidance. So for me, it's good to be skeptical, but it's better to be curious, which means that be open to learning everything, but be selective upon what you're doing and join it, right? And that's how you're going to learn what to join and what to do. But you got to be curious. Curiosity never killed a cat. It made him smarter and wiser.
Amen to that. Hey, I want to first thank you so much for all the knowledge, all the information you were kind enough to share for free, listeners, for free. I'm going to throw out a word, and I just want you to expound on it. And I think this is one of those things that get us in a lot of trouble. So credit card.
Woo! Credit card. It ain't your money. It's not your money. Let me tell you that right now. It's not an emergency fund, and I'm going to call it what it is. It's a loan at a very high interest rate for many of you. So credit card is what we call the silent killers. It's the plastic trap. It's the debt trap. Because you're going to use it, and then you're going to abuse it, and then it's going to start abusing you because it's going to compound against you. So when I hear the word credit card, I hear not my money. Not my money. A loan. A very expensive loan at that. Yes. So do you need it though? Yes. You need credit. But you got to be responsible upon you using it. I'll give you this. 65% of your credit report based upon, number one, your payment histories, and number two, the balance upon the debt. Those are the two things that build your credit. Your credit history, your payment history, make up for 35%, and 30% comes from the balance upon your credit. So if you master just those two things alone within your credit score will always go up. Always remember, it's called credit.
Can I just write? It's more than poetry. It's a soul exposed, a breath exhaled, a mirror held to the beauty and the struggle of living, loving, hurting, and healing. Written by best-selling author J. DeWine Garnett, this deeply personal, spiritually grounded journey gives voice to the emotions we often silence. From grief and injustice to fatherhood, faith, and resilience. Each poem is a release, a revelation, not written to impress, but to connect. This isn't a performance. This is permission to feel, to speak, to write. Read it in stillness. Speak it aloud. Let, can I just write, stir your spirit, affirm your worth, and remind you, your story matters. Order now at loveisaparable.com or Amazon.
There's tiers in your credit. Tier one, tier two, tier three. When you start going over tier three, that's when you start going into the dealership and you get zero money down, right? Your credit's so good that they trust you to walk out of there with no money down, right? So it's tiers to it. And it's just about building up that credit, right?
Man, I absolutely love that information. I'm so glad you shared it. I know we're closing down. Mona, any final questions before we wrap up? I do want to definitely say one or two things before we close, but I want to give you the floor too. Well, Mona may be tied up, but one thing I just want to make certain. Are you there, Mona?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
So we actually have a class that we're running. Coach is his firm, B. Sinez Legacy, has a package deal for families who want to be educated on finances. And so I just wanted to ask Coach if he can give us that information and the best way to contact him for those families who are interested in being educated on finance, on the subject matter of financial literacy. If you could tell us a little bit about that, the special that we have running for September, and then how can we reach out to you and sign up?
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And yes, so we have an amazing package that we're doing for families where you get 3 months of mentorship, 90 days of coaching. And in those 90 days, you're going to learn not only about your FIN number, you're going to learn about budgeting. You're going to learn how to create a stronger financial foundation, wealth protection, and so much more, even along the lines of credit. And this September, we're running a special for only $97. $97 for 3 months of coaching where we could meet anywhere from, you know, 2 to 3 times every week on a Zoom call for 1 hour. And not only that, you get access to me for 90 days where we get coaching and hands-on training. But most importantly, after September, though, that rate is going to jump up to $197. So I want to encourage you guys to get in while you can. And all you have to do is text financial mentorship to 321-312-0130. Once again, you can text financial mentorship to 321-312-0130.
Wow.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Mona. I'm sorry.
I was going to suggest that maybe we can, if Coach sends you the information, if we can, you know, if you could give them a couple of shout outs so that people know, how to contact him, because you know, this is, we just need to do it, people. We need to get our finances in order. This is not because we want to showboat and gloat around and, you know, look at me. No, it's not about that. It's about your legacy, your family's legacy, and protecting your family's legacy, you know. And so it's a really awesome course. You're definitely going to learn a lot from it. And Coach knows how to make it kid friendly, but also for the seniors. You know, like I said, our family is three generations. My mother's 80 years of age. I am 44. And then I have three teenage girls, and we've all been able to glean from this program. So please, please take heed and join us. Definitely join us for the betterment of your family. And
Can I just share one more thing too? Because I love giving away gifts, and I just want to also, you know, give a gift to all your listeners as well today, that I will make sure that every one of you that's listening also get an ebook. Also, for 100% complimentary from our gift to you, you know, and we want to give back to your community as well. So all they got to do is text that number as well, the 321-312-0130. Just text the word book, and they will get a free copy of a book called The Conquer Your Future, where it breaks down financial literacy in layman terms, where you learn it, you implement it. So I want to give that book to your community as well, so that way everybody know that, you know, we want to continue spreading financial literacy to every family. So I just want to let you know that as well.
Thank you. And definitely we'll do everything on our end. Muna, actually, great minds think alike. I was going to do the same thing, give you the floor, because I want you to get it out there. I want our listeners to take advantage of this. So anything else that you think we need to put out right now, I'm going to come back at you again and give you that floor. Anything else?
For me or for Coach?
No, for Coach. No, for Mr. Finance, Coach Keon.
The only thing I would encourage everybody, just go to Amazon. Let's make, you know, master your budget with the 50-30-20 formula book. Let it be the number one financial book on Amazon. Let's make it a bestseller. It's on its way. Yes. And I'm super excited about our project, because I broke down budgeting, because one of the things I tell people all the time, you don't have a money-making problem. You do not even have a savings problem. You probably don't even have a problem growing your money or protecting it. The problem you have when you have all those issues is a budgeting problem. Amen. And I've created a book that is simple. Master your budget and make it easy. Budgeting is not complicated, because I simplified it. All right? So that's the only thing I wanted to just share out there. Everybody go get a copy of that book. It will change your life.
Thank you. Coach Keon. And also, thank our wonderful young person, Alexa, for joining us today. That was powerful, y'all. Everything. And a little fun, too. But I want everyone to remember that it's not how much you make, it's how much you do with it. And Coach Keon has actually laid down the blueprint. Muna, anything else before we wrap up?
Yes, I wanted to share with everyone very quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 10:31. It says, so whether you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So let me say that again. This is 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So in the care of our finances, sometimes God does bless us to be a blessing to other people, which is one of the reasons why it's so imperative for us to be good stewards over the things that God gives us. We have to steward what we eat. We have to steward how we take care of ourselves. We have to steward our time. We have to steward our money. Everything has to be properly taken care of. Otherwise, it's kind of like a slap in God's face. There is evidence in the Bible from Corinthians. There's something in there about Luke, in Matthew, also 1 Peter 4:10. Please, I urge everyone that's listening to go into the Word of God and to find out the scriptures that are directly connected to stewardship. It is very, very important. And I think for so long, there's been a stigmatism that, you know, I don't know if that's the right word, stigmatism or a label, stigma. Thank you, mommy. There's been a stigma that Christians are supposed to be poor, or if you have money, that is bad. The Word of God says that it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's that greed when you have so much that you just want to hoard it all for yourself, to where you're doing things in order to get money just to hoard it. And when we depart this earth, we cannot take any finances with us. The wonderful homes, the cars, the clothes, just all of that stuff that is tangible, none of that goes with us, which is why it's important to know how to roll it over into the next generation. And all of that has to do with stewardship. So this is the reason why, you know, having financial educators on your team and having a financial foundation is pertinent. So I just wanted to, you know, because, you know, we are faith-based, because we are a people of God, we need to know that all of this ties into the Word. People of God, please hear me and hear me well. It is not a sin to be wealthy. It is not a sin to be wealthy. The more money that we have, the more we can push the agenda of God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. So everything that you want, everything that you could ever desire, as long as you're seeking God first, again, tying it back to 1 Corinthians 10:31, everything that you do, let it be for the glory of God. If you do it for the glory of God, God is going to multiply it. He's going to give you a kingdom. He's going to, not a kingdom, but he's going to give you an empire, a dynasty, a legacy for your family. So please keep that in mind. Know that, you know, this is it. Everybody that is a believer, a Bible-believing believer, if you read the Word of God, you should know that wealth is a part of loving God. It's a part of being in God's kingdom. We're supposed to have wealth so that we can do more for other people. So we love you all. Thank you for listening. And I hope that provides some clearance for people. Don't let anybody make you feel ashamed because you're wealthy or you're trying to seek wealth. It's what you're doing with the wealth that can either make or break you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Coach Keon, thanks again. Alexa, thank you. Mona, thank you. Good connecting again. God bless y'all.
God bless you too.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you're welcome. Join us next time.
Indeed. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher. The unknown.